Amen. I'm actually coming up on exactly a year at Christ Central as the youth pastor. I signed on to be youth pastor September 4th, 2024. So in a few days, this week, it'll be my 1 year. In some ways, it flew by. This year was really fast. And in many other ways, it felt like 2 or 3 years. Not because CCPC was bad or anything, just a lot has happened in my life and also in the life of our church, as many of you know. And here's what happened in my life. One, I left my previous church that I was pastoring at, and it wasn't just any other church, it wasn't a job, it was my home church. It was the church that I was infant baptized at. My mom literally has a picture of her holding me in her hands and me being infant baptized. It was where I got called into ministry. It was the first place that I served as a youth pastor. Pastor Bobby was my youth pastor there. It's the place where, honestly, I experienced a lot of pain and trauma. Not from Pastor Bobby, but just in general. And then I came here. I found a new home here. I found a new family, made a lot of friends. But as those of you who know, if you've experienced trauma before, the road to healing and recovery is messy. And so I experienced that here, healing. My family and I wrestled with a few things, a number of things, just personally. And I even went through my first heartbreak, if you'll believe it. That stuff hurts. So youth students, I understand. And if you ever go through that, I'm here for you. But before my youth and I go back to our own service, which I know they're excited about. They're asking me right before this, when are we going back to our service? I want to share the main conviction and truth that God taught and showed me this year. And it essentially is that, yes, God is the creator of creation, that he is the God of the storms, but he's also the God in the storms. During All Church Sundays, we do this amazing thing where we invite our central youth to come up and to lead us in the reading of Scripture for the day. And so I'm going to invite our very own Matthew Lee to come on up and lead us in the reading of Scripture. Will you guys welcome him with me?
Matthew 14:22 to 33. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why do you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, brother. Appreciate you, man. A couple weeks ago, Pastor Bobby mentioned in his sermon, he talked about the Red Sea moments. These are the moments that are impossible, that cause us to, force us to surrender, and that's where God is most glorified. And he said something that made me pause and reflect because I thought it was very profound. He talked about how whenever you see God bring salvation and deliverance in the Bible, in our lives, he usually does it in ways we would never think of or do ourselves. Pastor Bobby mentioned that it would have made so much more sense in our minds for him to say, "Build a boat in front of the Red Sea, I'll hold them off as long as I can." Like in our minds, we immediately go to what makes sense. We would have never thought ourselves, like raise your hand in the staff, split the sea, and we'll go through the sea. Like that wouldn't have even crossed our minds. And I bring this up because this is important to understand when facing impossible situations, when you're in the middle of storms, because you're not going to understand it. Like, this is something that we have to accept as followers of Jesus, that we're not going to understand. Like, notice how in our passage, you find Jesus in the mountains, and you find the disciples and Simon in the boat in the middle of the sea, in the middle of the storm. And the easiest thing would have been for Jesus to snap his fingers from the mountain and make the storm cease. But what happens is Jesus goes to where they're at. He lets them suffer longer, goes to them. He waits for Simon to sink, to drown, and then call out to Jesus. He picks Simon up. They get into the boat, and then he calms the storm. It makes no sense. It would have made way more sense for him to calm the storm before they get into the boat. Why calm the storm after getting into the boat? Right, we're not going to understand, right? Why doesn't God do what I want? Why doesn't he give me what I'm praying for? Why doesn't this storm pass in my life? And I wouldn't be surprised if the disciples were also wondering, where's Jesus? He sent us ahead of him. Where is he? Why isn't he coming to rescue us? Jesus, save us. I'd be more surprised if they weren't thinking like this. But praise God that instead of calming the storm from the mountain, that he stepped into the storm. Like, praise God for that. And I'll tell you why. Because for us, many of us, we think what we want and what we need is for God to take away the storm from us. But the fact that Jesus, instead of calming the storm, answering our cries for help, our prayers, he came down into the storm to them, that's literally the gospel. That's the entire gospel narrative. That God doesn't expect us to come up to him to where he's at in divinity, but he comes down low to meet us where we're at. Right? This is a picture of the gospel, that he steps into the storms. This is one of the things that I love about youth ministry. It humbles you like nothing else. One of the things we tell our leaders all the time is that our students, they're kids. They have to make their fair share of mistakes. So learn to laugh and to goof off with them. Right? We tell our leaders this before retreats. We tell our leaders this before the fall. Like, we're called to go low in humility and meet them where they're at. Because that's Jesus' heart for us. Instead of expecting us to meet him in Godhood, he came down in the flesh. If you're in the middle of suffering, a season of stillness or waiting, he might not take it away right away. In fact, most of the time, he won't. But praise God that he's able to meet us where we are. And that's what the beginning of our passage shows us, that he knows that they're suffering, they're about to die in this storm, and he steps into it to meet them where they are. Jesus is a God who not only sees our suffering, but he himself came to suffer, so he understands our heartache and our pain. But he's also a God who steps into the storm. And when we suffer, when this happens and he meets us where we're at, in the middle of storms, we're faced with the reality often. And the reality, the truth that the storms in our life exposes in us is this, that if we're being honest with ourselves, we don't really want more of him. Because what we really want is for the storm to pass, right? If we're being honest, right? When the storms hit, when suffering comes, when the waiting is too long for whatever it is we're waiting for, we would much rather have God to snap his fingers, give us what we want, or the storm to pass, than him come into the season that we're in. But there will be times when God not only allows storms, but he actually keeps us in the storms a little longer. Like, just read the word, read the Bible. This is what God does, right? He keeps us in the seasons of suffering, of refining, where you'll have to keep praying, you'll have to keep wrestling with your faith, and you'll have to keep living and waiting in the pain and in the silence. And here's why you need to know and understand this truth, that he keeps us in prolonged seasons of suffering. Because even though you don't understand why he's prolonging this season, it's because if you don't believe he's God in the storms, that he's in control of prolonged suffering, you'll stay in the boat. You'll distract yourself with the comfort and the safety of your boat, whatever that is, whether that's your family, your friends, your job, your financial security, whatever your boat is, you'll stay in it. But the point of this passage that you're supposed to see is that Jesus is not in the boat. He's in the water. And so Simon, seeing this, he steps into the water, and that's where he notices the waves and the wind, and he sinks. He starts drowning, and it sucks and it's painful, much like your season. But that's where he learns to wrestle, fail and sink, and then cry out to Jesus and be saved. It's in the waters that he learns this, not in the boat. And it's in the waters where he's held by Jesus. Everybody knows Pastor Hank and Jean Hamm, his wife. If you don't know, you should get to know them. They're amazing. They're wise. They're godly people. And I bring them up because I had the privilege of serving alongside Miss Jean this past year. And in the craziness of this year, this storm that I went through, Miss Jean put it for me like this. She looked at me and she said, "Sam, I know it's hard, but lean into your suffering. Lean into your suffering, because that's where his people grow." In the same way, church, when God keeps you in the storms a little longer than you wanted, lean into your suffering, because that's where he's going to meet you. Don't believe that the suffering and the silence means that God doesn't care. It's proof that he does. He's going to show you and teach you in the waters that he does. And when you guys begin to lean into your suffering, when we begin to learn this reality of this fallen world and life, it leads us to a truth. And this truth is actually found in the last verse of our passage, Matthew 14, verse 33. I'll read it for us. It says, "And those in the boat worshiped him, saying, 'Truly, you are the Son of God.'" When you guys think of the story of Job, it's interesting. I always found this interesting that at the end of his story, it doesn't end with God answering all of Job's whys. He doesn't answer Job's questions directly. He doesn't answer the why. He shows Job the who. Right? That's why Job, at the end of his suffering and the countless questions and the doubts, he ends with the conclusion, "You are God and we are not." That's his takeaway. And then in our passage today, when the disciples are going through a life-threatening experience, their conclusion is the same thing. It's truly, you are the Son of God. And then you actually fast forward a couple chapters to chapter 16, and it's that passage where Jesus asks his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" And isn't it interesting that the person who answers the question is Simon? And I don't think it's simply because he's an extrovert or he's loud and passionate, like I've been told when I was growing up. I actually think it's a different reason. I think it's because for Simon, that answer was personal for him. Like, all the disciples knew the answer to that question. "Who do you say that I'm?" "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." But Simon's the one that speaks up because he's the one that learned it in the waters. He's the one that stepped out of the boat. And so he says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus looks at him and says, you get it. And he gives him a new name, Peter. The conclusion of the storm should always be that Jesus is the Son of God. And this is the most important point of today's message, that when you suffer, when you pray with no answer, there are times his answer is not an end to your suffering or the answer you were looking for, an answer to your prayers. The purpose of your storm is literally to bring you to a place of rock bottom so that you look up, so that you believe that he's the Son of God, so that you believe in him more, that you believe that he's worthy and that he's beautiful, that when you're lonely, that you recognize you're not alone, right? That when you're hurting, you believe that he's a healer, that when you can't worship him where you're at, that you surrender the things that you're worshiping. That video that we showed for the central moment, and the moment I shared where I fell in love with my youth, that moment was so special to me because it came also with a storm moment for me. As I was weeping in the back, looking at the backs of our youth praising and worshiping and falling in love with our students and our ministry, I lifted up a prayer to God in that moment. And I told God, I don't need answers to prayer. And I don't need you to give me someone or something. I just need you. And it was literally in that moment, that prayer, where he gave me peace. My situation didn't change. The year didn't get better. But I knew that he was the Son of God, that he was with me, and that he was worthy and beautiful. Leaning into your suffering is in many ways what it looks like to be Christian. Paul says this in Romans 8, verse 13. He says, "For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live." And then Jesus also talks about in the Gospels that if you want to follow me, you have to pick up your cross, deny yourself, and follow me. It's so much easier to distract ourselves when the storms come. Right? It's so easy to stay in our boats. Nobody wants to face their pain. Nobody wants to, of their own will, step out into the water. Everyone runs. But leaning into your suffering and circumstances is actually what the gospel, what Jesus calls his disciples to do. Like, this is part of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Leaning into your suffering and your circumstances will be one of the hardest things that the Lord asks you to do. By far. But many times, it leads to surrender. What you're desperately holding on to, what's gripping your heart, what's consuming your mind every single weekend, what he's asking is for you to trust him and to surrender, to let go. And he's not asking us to be fake and to just put up a front and to pretend like we don't care about our family, our kids, our dreams, whatever, our careers. But he's saying to trust him, to worship him where you're at. Whatever the outcome is of the storm, whatever the answer to your prayer is, to let go. And that's when change and growth happen. When your kids disappoint you and fail you, when your parents fail to love you, when there are broken relationships, when you feel alone, when your career isn't progressing like others, whatever it is, lean into that suffering. Trust him. Look at him and let go. And I know it's hard, but I want to leave you guys with an encouraging truth. Nobody, not your parents, not your closest friend, nobody understands how hard it is to lean into your suffering, to step out of the water, out of the boat into the waters, more than Jesus does. But for him to step out of his throne in heaven, to step out of divinity into the flesh, into humanity, nobody understands that more than him. And here's the encouraging truth. The one who understands that the most, he loves you. And he's all powerful. And he's all knowing. And this loving, all powerful, all knowing God who understands the difficulty of stepping out of the boat into the waters, he still calls you to lean into your suffering. And so I encourage you, church, to trust God, the God in the storms. To trust him wherever you're at, to see his beauty, that he's the Son of God. And like the disciples did at the end of that experience, worship him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we praise you as the creator of the heavens and the earth. And God, we thank you that not only did you create the waters and the wind, but you step into the storms. And Lord, in faith, Lord, we pray for deliverance of the storms in your people's lives, that God, you would show mercy and grace, that you would answer prayers, that you would meet us where we're at. Lord, even when you don't make the wind cease and the water still, give us the faith and the humility to believe that you are the Son of God, that you are worthy and beautiful. Lord, we love you and we thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray.
Beloved church.